Welcome to episode 39 of Stories from the VO Booth. I'm your host, voiceover talent and trainer, Tina Zaremba. Today I'm talking with New York-based casting director, Elizabeth Bunnell. Listen in as Elizabeth shares how her search to understand the business of acting led her to be a casting director, why she loves being a casting director, the special language that exists between voiceover actors and voiceover casting directors, and way more. Here's our chat. Elizabeth Bunnell, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me this afternoon.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I would like to ask you, I know you as a casting director here in New York, and I also know you're a voiceover coach. How did you find yourself as a casting director? Because you don't go to school for that, just like you don't go to school to be a voiceover talent.
No, you don't. I went to school. I went to NYU to become an actor. Mm-hmm. And I studied acting there, and I had a great education. I loved my experience there, and I really felt like I understood the craft of acting when I left NYU. But I did not feel like I understood the business, and so I didn't know what I was doing. Frankly, like that year that I left college, I was like, "What is going on?" I ran into a friend who had been interning at Liz Lewis Casting. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, they need a receptionist. And I was like, okay, well, that might be a good way for me to learn a little bit about how this all works. So I interviewed for the job and I got the job. And it was great. It did exactly what I had hoped it would do. I met actors and directors and casting directors and producers. And I was sort of right at the front desk where everything was happening.
Yeah.
And so I got to see how the pieces all fit together, how it all works. I got to have great conversations with people, and I learned so much. And I also learned from that experience, Liz Lewis was primarily a commercial casting agency.
Right.
So we did some film and television as well. And I, as an actor, loved theater and never felt very comfortable in front of a camera at all. So kind of knew that wasn't really where I was interested in being. And then I got to be an assistant at Liz Lewis and kind of moved up the ranks there. And I loved being behind the camera as a casting director, because it allowed me to help facilitate actors to get work and to make what I always felt was a really nerve-wracking situation of auditioning and being scared and being nervous, trying to make that as comfortable for them as possible, as fun for them as possible, so that they could do their best work. And for me, that was incredibly gratifying. I loved it. And then I also continued with my love of theater, and I ran a theater company for 10 years as well. But the casting thing was great. And I don't think I ever even thought about voiceovers as a job when I was growing up. You know, I know some people were like, oh, I always wanted to be the voice on a cartoon or something.
Right.
I thought about it. I guess I thought of it that way, but I never knew like how much voiceover is out there. It's just everywhere. And then to sort of observe how casting directors work with voice actors, I learned a lot from voice actors about how it all works. And I started doing voice casting at Liz Lewis, and I really, really loved it.
What do you like about it?
I like it because it is so liberating for actors, that, you know, the fact that like you don't have a camera or anybody really like looking at you, you know, no matter like what you're doing per se, it's just about creating this story or, you know, or sound with your body and your voice. And I think it's just so compelling, and it's so, and what you can do with just your voice when it just kind of focuses down to that, and all the things that we do to, you know, to make a sound happy or excited or whatever, what have you. it was really exciting to see how voice actors work. And then I think there's also kind of a special language that starts to happen between voice actors and voiceover directors, casting mm-hmm. directors. You know, it's not like when you're in a theater rehearsal, you don't, you know, the director's not saying like, just a little brighter or...
right. More smile on that.
More smile on that or, you know, shrug your shoulders, whatever. It's a very specific language, you know, that happens to talk about how we use our voices. And I thought that was really fun. So it's kind of been something that while I still do other types of casting, I think, you know, it's the kind that I prefer the most. And it's where also a lot of what the other work that I do now really kind of comes, it is more in the voiceover realm.
I prefer it too. So let me ask, what is the process that, because I'm sure there's a lot, I know there's a lot involved in casting for a voiceover job. So can you kind of walk me through that?
Sure. What happens is our clients who are generally production companies, ad agencies, come to us with their commercial or their industrial, whatever it is. And they have generally, you know, they have a script and they have an idea of the kind of voice. More often than not, they have an idea of the kind of voice that they're looking for that will serve their demographic and their product and their brand. And so they will share with us those ideas. We call them, you know, specs.
Mm-hmm.
And we then as casting directors take those specs and we reach out to talent agencies that we have relationships with. And then sometimes, depending on the project, we will go beyond talent agencies and use sources like Actors Access. And also from our own, you know, if people send us MP3s directly and we have our own files, we'll pull from those places as well. But we will share these specs with the talent agencies, and they will then submit to us a list of their talent from their roster, who they think will best serve those specs.
Mm-hmm.
And we go through those lists and we say, well, you know, I only have a certain number of appointments during the day. Depending on the length of the script and how quickly the client needs it, that sort of determines how long of a day we're going to have. And we'll go through their list and we will pull from their list, you know, however many appointments we have available to give to each agent. So it may be 3 people, it may be 7 people. It really just depends on the project. And then those people will get appointment times. Those actors, they'll come in for us and audition for us. And I believe it's our job to, you know, help them give their best auditions. And then from those auditions, it works. I freelance for a lot of different casting agencies now, and people do it differently in different places. Some people only like to submit one take of each talent to their client. So we may do 3 or 4 takes in the booth, but I'm going to choose the one take that I submit to the client.
Okay. Now,
and some places, you know, want to send more than one take, want to send a couple and kind of show different things. It really depends. And that's something that, you know, as an actor really has no control over, but you just have to kind of put your faith in the casting director that we're going to show you in the best light possible. Some instances, producers and directors will say, you know, just submit a certain amount. We don't want to hear everybody.
Right.
Or, you know, who are your top 5 people, that kind of thing. It really varies, but we don't as casting directors choose who the final talent is going to be. That is really up to our client. It is just our job to narrow their choices and help them make a decision.
So you send over, let's say, like a zip file or a Dropbox file that has the MP3s, they make a decision and then the talent's booked, or do you find you're doing callbacks, or how does...
In voiceover, it's rare that we'll do callbacks.
Okay.
If it's a big campaign, mm-hmm. sometimes they'll do callbacks, you know, if it's the voice of, you know, Volkswagen or what have you. But callbacks aren't as frequent in voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
So generally what happens is they'll choose somebody, they'll choose usually a few people, and they'll come back to us. One is their sort of first choice, and then they'll have a couple of backup choices usually. We then reach out to those people or their agents and put them up with, on what we call a first refusal, which means that they are to hold a certain day and time in case if they are booked for the job. Right. We want to make sure that they are available to be booked. And then what happens is our client, that ad agency production company, then takes their choices to their client, right, who is the product, and lets them make the ultimate decision. So, you know, of the three people that they're submitting, then there's another decision made. And then we book that person and they go do their job.
Yeah, we like those bookings. So let me ask, when you're auditioning talent, anything in particular stand out as to what makes an audition stand out or what hurts someone in an audition that an actor does?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are, you know, basic rules of thumb about being a professional in any industry. You know, one is that we show up on time, that we are prepared for the work at hand, and that we are courteous. You know, those are the basics. And timeliness is one that people seem we all struggle with in New York City. You know, and transit and multiple auditions can be a problem. But understanding that, you know, you can be apologetic and there's just a way to be late that's, you know, feels a little bit more gracious.
Right, like calling your agent and having them give a heads up or something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So those are just the basics. I think when, you know, when an actor's in the room, I think it's understanding that certainly is lovely. I love spending time with actors. I have a lot of actors like yourself who are friends and who I enjoy chatting with. But if I have a room full of people waiting, knowing, you know, when that's when we need to be more efficient and when we need to move it along, that kind of thing. And then I think coming in as to like the actual audition, the reading of the copy itself, I want to know that you've read it out loud before you've come in the room. And I want to know that you've paid attention to the direction, if there's direction on the page. And if you paid attention to the direction, then you have some idea of where we're going to go with it. But also being flexible and being open to sort of going somewhere else with it, you know, on a second take or a third take. And just, I think it's easy when you're auditioning, people get nervous, which I totally understand. And it's easy not to come in and like take that breath for yourself, just to kind of launch in. And then all that stuff that you've kind of thought about and prepared, you actually like, you were so ahead of yourself. You didn't get to do any of it, you know?
Right. And then you're doing it in the elevator on the way down.
And then you're like, oh, God.
I should have done this. I should have done that. Yeah.
So I think really behooves you. And I think everybody should have that moment to just collect themselves and take a breath and, you know what it is that they've thought about doing so that they can then do it. So I think that's, you know, something you get more and more comfortable with. Become more seasoned as a voice actor.
Yeah. Are there any trends that you're hearing right now that are really big in terms of voiceover?
Yeah, I think the very conversational an ongoing trend for quite some time. I think certainly we're hearing with women a little bit more texture, kind of, you know, fry at the end of their voice. Being an interesting thing and a desirable thing. And I also think it's a lot of commercial trends, especially with radio stuff, tend to follow, you know, if you're kind of up on the current sitcoms. And have a feel for those and those archetypes and character types, you know, you kind of hear the Modern Family thing, or you hear the Family Guy, or the, you know, so whatever sort of the current sitcom is, or comedians, a lot of times they're referenced a lot and their humor has been thought about when the copy is being written, if it's humorous copy. So it's kind of a good idea to, you know, watch a little television, know what's going on.
Yes, yes, yeah. No, I remember going in for a long time and constantly hearing, oh, the woman who was in, played the lead in Billie Jean, the tennis.
Oh, right. Emma Stone.
Yes. Hearing that reference a lot.
Yeah.
Or Claire from Modern Family getting right. that reference a lot as well.
Yeah. You know, and it's not about like voice matching them, right? It's about sort of understanding the character that they play and embodying that, you know, Claire is, you know, she kind of wears the pants and, you know, is on top of it, right?
Right. And that's an important point that you make, because I think so often people think that it's voice matching and it's not. It's the essence.
It's the essence, exactly. And so understanding just like who she is, you know, what does she represent?
So I didn't put this down. Can we talk a little bit about your voiceover coaching that you do? Would that be okay?
Yeah, totally.
So you do coaching as well. Do you work with people outside of New York or is it just New York based?
I have worked with a few people outside of New York, but they've come to New York for me to work with them.
Oh, look at you, Miss Popula. And do you work in the studio?
I did work in a studio. You know, people have asked me to do work over Skype and things like that. And I haven't done it yet because I'm honestly, I don't feel like I'd be as good in that mm-hmm. situation. You know, I feel like a lot of what I do is about seeing people and what they're doing in the booth. And yeah, so I don't feel like it would serve them as well for me to do it that way. Though I know that people do, you know, but most of my coaching does tend to be New York based talent.
And when you work with talent, are you looking at like, what is your approach? Are you looking at their physicality? Are you looking at, I don't know.
I'm working with them on a lot of things. So it depends on where they are, right? If they're beginners or if they're seasoned voiceover people and what their individual needs are. So if I, you know, I might be like, I've a lot of times now, because one of the trends in the industry that has changed a lot since I started is that sadly, we casting directors are not in the equation as often as we used to be.
Right.
There's a lot more self-recording happening, right? Where agencies are having their talent record and submit directly to the agency and then sending that to the ad agency and production companies. So a lot of what I've done is working with actors that I've worked with for years as a casting director who are now doing a lot of self-records and are trying to learn about self-direction, trying to figure out how to do that and how can I objectively listen to my takes and, you know, make good choices, right? So that's one thing I work with people on. If people are kind of newer to the industry, then I will work with them on understanding why we do voiceovers and how to do them effectively. But also, I will try and help them figure out what some of their voice habits are, mm-hmm. And when those habits are serving them and when they are not serving them. So, but just being, you know, creating that awareness about your voice. I work with people a lot on physicality and how our body is connected to our voice and helps change sound.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think, you know, there's it's different things depending on what people need. Some people, you know, and then I've worked with people who've like done a lot of sort of radio announcery kind of stuff and are struggling with the more conversational reads. And so we'll work in that direction. It really is, you know, on a per person.
Right. And so you really kind of customize the session to fit what they need, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly.
And how can folks, if they want to reach out to you about this, how can they connect with you?
Sure. I coach through Shut Up and Talk, which is the education division at Hyperbolic Audio. So they can go to shutupandtalk.com.
I love that name.
all one word. And you'll be able to navigate to coaching there very easily.
And are you still doing classes with?
Class with Jen Sokol, yeah. Who's also a casting director. And we also teach at Shut Up and Talk.
So shutupandtalk.com/education. Is that what you said?
I think just shutupandtalk.com. That's their education.
Got it. Okay. And it's part of Hyperbolic.
Yes, exactly. And it's located in Midtown.
Yes, up in there.
Yes, you have.
So my last question for you. Maya Angelou says, words mean more than what is set down on paper. It takes the human voice to infuse them with deeper meaning. What do you hope your overall voice conveys in life as well as in work?
That's such a good question. I hope that my voice conveys honesty and authenticity. I hope that my voice is a comforting and reassuring one.
Oh, it is.
Thank you. And a collaborative one. You know, I think it is. I like this industry and every facet of this industry because I like collaboration. And I like that when creative people come together, something new and exciting happens that can't happen in any other situation.
Thank you so much.
Fun. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening in. And a reminder, if you haven't signed up for my free 5-day VO challenge, you can do so at tinazvotraining.com/challenge. Until next time, here's to owning our voices.